Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Fred Lowry, illuminating God's Word for today's world.
The choice, the Word of God or the world. The choice, Christ or culture for us.
We can choose Christ.
God can and does often speak to me through my wife. And men, God speaks to you through your wife. Now, I know that's somewhat disconcerting, and it's difficult for our fragile egos, but it is absolutely true. It seemed like weeks since I had had the opportunity to recline in my recliner, undisturbed. But I had that opportunity, and then I hear Bud, our ferocious dog, barking. And that's a sign that somebody's in the driveway. He's not going to do anything about it. He just lets us know. And then Lee comes bouncing in with a book in her hand, disgustingly excited. And she starts to read to me out of this book. Well, now, it's a big book. It's Dr. Seuss. And she sits on the corner of that recliner. Women don't like recliners. Men love them. No man should be without one. And the most comfortable that you can possibly get. Women don't like them, but yet they want to sit on the edge of yours and nearly turn the thing over. So she was trying to sit on the arm of that recliner, trying to read to me out of Dr. Seuss with unabated enthusiasm. And I was underwhelmed. I mean, here is a book with five or six words on each page, one syllable words. And I've been reading heavy stuff. I mean, I've been reading real books. Talking about the eschatological significance of apocalyptic literature and those kind of things. And she wants me to read Dr. Seuss. Well, she finally figured out I was not excited and I was not going to read it. And she went away somewhat frustrated and disappointed. It's a book called Oh, the Places You'll Go. Well, but 3 or 4 months went by and I happened to see that book and I picked it up and said, why not? I'll read it. And so I read that book. I took, 30 or 40 seconds and read it. Wow, I was surprised. I could not believe the truth that I found in that book. And Dr. Seuss was right on target with humorous pictures and humorous verse. You got the picture of what life is really about, the balance of life. And the ups and downs, and the fact that there are no 100% guarantees, period. And life does not always turn out like you expect it to turn out. In fact, it seldom does. And that we all encounter problems and unexpected things. Remember Lucy in Peanuts, who was worried about her problems, and Charlie Brown says, don't worry about it, life has its ups and downs. You understand that, Lucy? She said, I don't want ups and downs, all I want is ups and ups and ups. And that's what we all want, but none of us really get. Dr. Seuss is right. Life is not always how we want it to be. So I thought, why not, beginning a brand new year, let's get into some deep stuff right off the top, and let me read to you out of Dr. Seuss. So here goes. Compliments of my wife. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. That's good stuff. You make the choices that result in the consequences in your life. Can't blame anybody else, ultimately. You're responsible for your own choices. And life is basically a series of choices. You're on your own. And you know what you know, and you are the guy who'll decide where to go. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you'll top all the rest, except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. good stuff. Sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch and your gang will flower and you'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. This is deep, isn't it? And I love this next one. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. How many of you have ever been in a slump? And what does it take to unslump yourself? That's the title of today's message, How to Unslump Yourself. Remember last year I told you the story about out of Lucado's book, Chippy the Parakeet, that was, the lady was going to clean out the parakeet cage with a vacuum cleaner, and the phone rang, and she turned to get the phone and sucked up Chippy. And then she panicked, and she ran, and she jerked open that bag, and there was Chippy covered in dust and in shock. And so she takes the bag to the water and pours cold water on Chippy. And now he is shocked and shivering. And then she gets the blow dryer and turns it on. And he didn't even know what hit him. Several days later, Chippy survived, but they said Chippy didn't sing anymore. Just kind of sat in a daze looking off into space. Sucked up, washed off, and blown away. We've all been there, haven't we? Paul knew what it was to be devastated, and yet he throws us a curve when we see he appeared delighted. Maybe he knew something that we need to know. Did he struggle? Yes, he struggled. But he knew how to refocus. He knew how to unslump himself. And that's what we need to learn. Because Dr. Seuss is exactly right. Things happen in life that you cannot prepare for, that you do not expect. Doesn't life have a way of just sneaking up on your blind side? Things happen that you can't prepare for, that you don't get ready for, that you never expected to happen to you. Sometimes our kids put us there. How many of you either have kids or you know somebody who's got kids? Let me see your hand. Or you understand, sometimes our kids put us there. I mean, kids can put you in a slump in a hurry. I remember when I was a young preacher, I had this sermon entitled, 10 Laws for Rearing Godly Kids. And then after I had kids, I changed it to 10 Suggestions for Rearing Godly Kids. Then I got teenagers, and I call it now, One or Two Things You May Want to Try. This man was walking by this woman. She had these three kids that were just driving her crazy. And the man said, stopped and said, "Lady, if you had it all to do over again, would you have kids?" She said, "Yes, but not the same ones." Well, kids can put us there. And if you've got a strong-willed child, a ballistic child, and you understand why some animals eat their young, you understand that our kids can put us in the slump. Our mate can put us there. They have a special, unique way sometimes of doing that. Our friends can put us there. Our mistakes can put us there. Our sins can put us there. Our circumstances can put us there. People, circumstances, and things can get us in a slump. We all get there. But what we need to understand is life is 10% what happens. It's 90% how we respond to what happens to us. All of us get in a slump. It's how do we respond and how do we unslump ourselves? That's the question. There's the passage over in 2 Samuel chapter 21 where David is in battle with Philistines and things are not going very well, and David is an old man and he has lost that physical stamina. And the King James Version, the verse says, "And David waxed faint." Now, that's King James for he was in a slump. He caved in. He was near collapse. He had a sinking spell. And that's what that word slump means. It means to sink, to collapse. David waxed faint. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, there's a verse that I used to preach a sermon from this verse when I first began preaching. And the first time I ever ran across this verse, it made a tremendous impact upon my life because I was a young high school student. I started preaching early in life. I started pastoring in the 11th grade in high school. And in my senior year in high school, got in a building program. We built an auditorium. So I started real, real young. In fact, I pastored a small, my senior year in high school, I pastored a small church, had a dry cleaning route, and drove a school bus. And in my spare time, just goofed off. But this verse just really made an impact upon my life because it says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life." In other words, be faithful to God, even if it costs you your life. Obey God. Be faithful to God. And when we're faithful to God, now here's the biblical principle. And don't you go out here and say, "I just preached Seuss. I used Seuss to illustrate the message." But the message is based solidly on the Word of God. Here's God's principle. When you are faithful to God in the midst of trouble, when the bottom falls out of your life, when you get in a slump, if you're faithful to God, when you can't figure things out and there is no understanding, and you still say, "I'm going to be faithful to God," then God will be faithful to you. And He will teach you and He will transform you out of that experience into His likeness. You see, God wants to use the hard times in life to teach us lessons that we couldn't learn any other way. You say, "I don't want to learn any more of those kind of lessons." Well, we need to learn them. Do you know, when you look back on church history, you will discover that the church has never done well when it's been successful. The church has done well when it's been persecuted and had to struggle. And since you brought it up, let me just tell you that I believe unless something dramatically changes in America, one day in our lifetime, the church and any committed Christian will be persecuted in this country. But the good news is we'll probably do better than we've ever done because we've had it too good. The church has been too successful. And the church doesn't handle success very well. Now let's get to our text. We're in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 20. How to unslump yourself as we began 1993. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me there." Now that's one of those verses that you can stake your life on. Paul is making a quality decision. Paul is saying, "My focus is on God, and God's Spirit has compelled me to go to Jerusalem, and I've heard all of these negative reports, even threats against my life. And I may not survive the going, but I've got no choice. God said go, and I'm going. God said do, and I'm doing. God said be, and I'm being." That's the best decision any of us ever make. I'm not going to trust my own wisdom, not the conventional wisdom of my day or of my peers. I'm going to trust God, and when God speaks, I'm going to obey God. And I'll expect the consequences to take care of themselves. Jesus, in his own words in the Sermon on the Mount, said, we're not to worry about what we're going to eat or drink or the clothes that we have, the food that we eat. He says, seek ye first God and his kingdom and his righteousness. And then these other things will take care of themselves. Focus on God. Obey his voice. That's the key to life. That's what Paul did. That was the decision he made. In fact, if you want to know how to defeat the foe in 1993, let me give you an acrostic for it, F-O-E. Focus on God, obey his voice, and encourage one another. Folks, if we would all do that this next year, it'd be the greatest year we've ever experienced as a church. Hello? No, wasn't sure you were out there. If we would just focus on God, obey his voice, and encourage one another. Because everybody you meet is struggling in one way or another. We all get in a slump. We all need encouragement. We all struggle. So if we focus on God, if we obey his voice, if we encourage one another. You say, well, that's easy for Paul to say because Paul never had any struggle. Oh, I don't know of anybody in the New Testament who struggled much more than Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at that just for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Well, in part of verse 23, he says, I've worked harder, I've been in prison more frequently, I've been flogged more severely, and exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And then I love this next verse. Besides everything else, I still have the daily pressure, worse than all this. I had the daily pressure of pastoring these churches. I love that verse. But do you think Paul didn't have it rough? I mean, he knew what it was to struggle. He says, I faced death time after time after time. Beaten, imprisoned. And yet he knows how to unslump himself by focusing on God and obeying God's voice. Out of this text, let me give you some ways to unslump yourself. Number one, move forward. There are going to always be obstacles. Anything worthwhile is going to require some rearranging and some discipline and some difficulty. It takes action. It takes aggressiveness to get unslumped. Paul said, I am going to Jerusalem. I go forward. Remember in Philippians, he said, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press on. I move forward. You see, there are two things you need to know. One is that God made us to go forward. And the second thing is God's direction is forward. God made us to go forward. You ever notice you have 2 eyes in the front, none in the back? Notice your feet point forward. God meant for you to go forward. His direction is forward. And Paul said, I go forward. I'm going to Jerusalem. Don't wait on total understanding. When God says go, go. If you wait until you understand everything, you'll never move for God. God doesn't promise to draw your picture to explain it all to you out in advance. That destroys faith. And you may understand it 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You may never understand on this earth, but you still obey God. Don't wait on understanding or you'll miss God. Don't wait on comfort. A lot of people won't do anything because Things get a little unsettled and they stop right there. They never move beyond that spot because they don't want to upset anything. They want it to be peaceful, and they don't want to squeeze anybody's comfort zone. And so they wait until the comfort comes. If you wait on comfort, you'll miss what God has for you. If you wait on peace, you'll miss what God has for you. Because listen, just think about it. If peace is required, Paul spent most of his time outside the will of God. And some people are confused at this point. Well, if everything is peaceful, then God must be in it. Friend, in the New Testament, things were in turmoil most of the time. Everywhere Paul went, there was trouble and controversy, difficulty. He was in and out of jail constantly. Had he waited on peace, he would have never gone to those cities God instructed him to go. God said, go to that city and preach Christ. He didn't say, wait until all the problems are worked out. He didn't say, wait until they welcome you, until they can put up banners saying, welcome Paul to the city of Philippi or Corinth or Ephesus. No. Don't wait on peace. Don't wait on opportunity. You know, a lot of people are sitting around in a slump because they're waiting for the opportunity to come to them and push them forward. Friend, opportunities very seldom rise up and knock you down. You got to make opportunity. And that's what Paul did. Move forward. If you're going to get unslumped, what you've got to do is you've got to aggressively discipline yourself and move forward. For the Christian, the first step is simply to obey God. What God's saying do, do it. The second thing is follow your faith, not your feelings. If you're going to get unslumped, you see, a lot of you are in a slump because you listen to your feelings and you're always down. Because feelings will drag you down. Feelings are fickle. They change constantly. With every little circumstance, they change. Don't trust your feelings. Trust God. God says, do this whether you feel like doing it or not. Then the feelings will come eventually. But don't rely on feelings. So somehow you've got to get control of your feelings. Now, you don't deny your feelings, but neither do you let your feelings guide your life. Paul didn't check with his feelings. He didn't check with his peers. He didn't even check with his enemies. When God said go, he was determined to follow God. Some of you are always checking with your feelings, and you miss out on what God has for you. See, what it says in the Scripture is Paul was compelled by the Spirit. King James says bound by the Spirit. Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem compelled by the Spirit. Not because I feel like going. Now you just think about it for a moment. If you knew that you had to go to a city and about half that town had a contract out on your life and chances are you'd die when you get there, how would you feel about going? I mean, if you were in your right mind, you'd say, I feel like I ought not to go. I feel like I ought to get real sick in a hurry. I feel like I ought to stay here and not move. I feel like I'm crazy if I go. Listen to me, listen carefully. The only time we're crazy is when we go by our opinion and ignore God's word. You say, I'm not going to leave this protection here and go over there where I may be harmed. God says, my will is the most protected place on earth. God says, obey me, and then I'll become your protection. And so that's what Paul said, compelled by the Spirit. Not knowing what will happen. He had plenty of ideas, and people had been kind enough to tell him what was going to happen to him. But he didn't listen to his peers. He didn't listen to his feelings. He listened to God. Focus on God. Obey His voice. Follow your faith, not your feelings. Thirdly, get out from under the circumstances. If you're going to get unslumped, you've got to get out from under the circumstances. I can walk up to the average Baptist on a Sunday morning and say, how you doing? Well, say, I'm doing pretty good considering the circumstances. I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. Well, get out from under them. Don't let negative circumstances control your joy and your victory. Paul didn't. Paul would not let circumstances control his life. He wanted to focus on God. He wanted to obey God. The Holy Spirit had said, had already told Paul, listen, Paul, I want you to go, and awaiting you in these cities will be prisons and hardships. What an opportunity. Paul, I want you to go, and by the way, what you'll find awaiting will be prisons and hardships. But you know, Paul had so fallen in love with Jesus Christ, and he had that experience on the Damascus Road, and the Lord had dramatically changed his life. Paul had rather be in a prison with Jesus than free without Jesus. He'd rather be undergoing hardship with the Lord than seemingly have it made, because you see, he knew the big picture. He knew that God would never allow anything into his life, but that it was sifted through God's love, and that God was ultimately in control. And so he was focusing on God, and his only motive was to obey God and encourage others. Focus on God, obey his voice, encourage others. Can you imagine the encouragement of the other Christians when they saw that Paul, regardless of the reports that he heard, the threats on his life, the difficulties, the hardship that could come his way, he said, I'm going to obey God. Not only am I going to obey him, I have a delight in obeying God. There's a joy in my soul, a peace in my heart. Follow your faith, not your feelings. Get out from under the circumstances. Move forward. And then refuse to be self-centered or self-seeking. Notice in verse 24, I count my life worth nothing to me. In Philippians, that great book of joy, there's an acrostic, J-O-Y. Put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. That's the key to joy. There is no joy in self-centered living. We get in a slump and we stay in a slump when we are thinking about ourselves and our own problems and having our own pity parties. And we just sink deeper and deeper. You'll never get out of the slump as long as you remain self-centered. As long as you're focusing on self, your hurts, your hassles, your problems, your needs, you'll never get unslumped. Paul had needs, he had problems, he had struggles, he had a thorn in the flesh, and yet he said, I count my life worth nothing to me. I'm not focusing on my needs, my problems, my struggles, my hassles, my hurts. I'm focusing on God, and I'm going to obey God's voice. And I'm going to encourage other people. Now, am I saying that you ought to deny your feelings? No, I'm saying that you ought to acknowledge your feelings and then die to them. You see, it's poor psychological health to deny your feelings. You have feelings. And you may feel hurt. You may get your feelings hurt. Do you realize how many people are in a slump today because somebody hurt their feelings with some little word or some slight? Some of you are in a slump right now because somebody didn't give you a Christmas present and you thought you deserved that Christmas present. And so you're in a slump. Well, it's all right to have that feeling, but then die to it and focus on God and obey His voice and move forward. It's amazing how little things trip us up as Christians, and how Gary Doolin and I were talking earlier this morning about people who get their feelings hurt about some little something, and they get mad and they back out of relationships and they leave a church and go to another church because somebody hurt their feelings. I want you to get this picture in your mind and never forget it. Imagine going up to a corpse, a person who's been dead 3 days. Walk up to that casket, look at that person, and reach down and pinch that person and watch his expression. If that expression changes, you'll be running for the next 10 years. But it won't change because that person is dead. And the Bible says there is a principle that we die to our feelings, and we continuously are dying to those feelings and living to Christ. And there is no happiness in being self-centered and self-seeking. The best way I know to stay slumped is to concentrate on yourself. You'll stay in a slump. You've got to somehow get your eyes off yourself and off your problems and start focusing on God and the needs of other people and start reaching out to help other people. You know, when people come to me depressed, the first thing I ask them to do is do something for somebody else. Help somebody else. If you're down, the best thing you can do is to help somebody else. If you're hurting, help somebody else who's hurting, and it helps your hurt. But by concentrating on your hurts, you only hurt more. If you're going to get unslumped, you've got to refuse to be self-centered. And then finish what you start. Listen to what Paul said. That I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. What a goal. Testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Oh, there's another great verse over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Paul struggled, yes. He had hurts and hassles more than any of us have had. Suffered perhaps more than any of us have suffered or will suffer. And yet, while he is in prison in Philippi, he writes the most joyful letter in the Bible. A book of joy. Because he had found joy in the midst of circumstances because he refused to allow negative circumstances to control his life. He had learned to get unslumped by focusing on God, obeying his voice, and encouraging one another. Now that's a worthy goal. That I may finish well. You see, we're notorious at starting things as Americans. Give us a red button or certificate and we'll join anything and we'll start anything. But we don't finish very well. Jumps and starts. Many of you last year intended to serve God all year long, but did you make it? We start, but we don't finish well. The way to get unslumped is to finish what you start. You see, some of you start too many things. You can't finish them all. We say we get too many irons in the fire. So in making resolutions, don't make many resolutions because you can't keep a lot of resolutions. And when you set goals, make them realistic goals. I mean, don't say, this year I'm going to lose 40 pounds, because you probably won't. But there is a reachable goal for you. And put a goal that you can reach, and then reach it. Start what you finish. You see, there is not anything, there are few things that are any more fulfilling than the sense of accomplishment. You started it, you followed through, you did it. And you need that in your life. You see, if everything in your life is just hanging there, you're going to be a frustrated basket case. So to get unslumped, you've got to get things in day bites, something you can do this day and work at it until you finish it, and then take on the next project. I think that's how Paul handled it. He wanted to win the world to Christ, but he did it a city at a time. And then even in that city, he did it a group and an individual at a time. Finish what you start. Those of you who watch by television, hear me pray for my dad often, and you may not know that he is suffering from cancer and has three tumors in his spine and in his lymph nodes. Was given 3 months to live now nearly a year ago. And for some reason, God has left him with us, and we've had some wonderful times. Now he's reached the point where his life is constant suffering. And weighs 117 pounds and even has trouble feeding himself, cannot stand. And I don't think I've ever been through anything that's been as difficult as to watch such a strong man battle the horrible disease called cancer. And then there's something about a dad and a son and a dad and a first son and a dad whose son followed him in the ministry. All those things come into play. And I wish I had the emotional strength to share with you out of my heart something of the last time we were there this past week. The most difficult thing I've ever been through. To pick my dad up like a little baby. To feed him. But then to talk to him about the funeral. And to hear him tell me he wanted me to take care of things. And what to do. And then to tell my dad, thanks for finishing well. For being faithful. For being a good dad. A good preacher. Faithful to the end. Even in suffering. Faithful. That's all I can say. Focus on God. Obey His voice. Encourage one another. And I promise you, if you'll do those three things, this will be the greatest year you've ever experienced. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word that encourages. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, and that means so can we, and that's hallelujah. That we can unslump ourselves. Help us to want to do it. To move forward, to follow our faith and not our feelings, to refuse to let negative circumstances control our lives, to finish what we start. We can do it with Christ's help. And Father, I pray that people in this auditorium and those who watch by television will make a commitment this morning to say, I'm going to focus on God, obey His voice, and encourage other people. As long as we focus on our problems, as long as we focus on our hurts and our hassles, we'll never, ever be happy. May we focus on God. Do it His way. And reach out to others in love and encouragement. And by your grace, we can do it. Father, I pray for those who need Jesus Christ this morning in this service. May they come to know you as Lord and Savior this very morning. And experience forgiveness of sin and the presence of Christ in that life forever. I pray for those who've gotten away from God, this will be the day they'd come back in a fresh commitment. I pray for those looking for a church home, that this would be the Sunday they'd join this church and help us impact this city for Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts. Help us to respond in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by our program today. If you would like a copy of today's program, go to www.fredlowry.com, where you can find this program and other Christian resources by Dr. Fred Lowry.